18, please. Psalm 119. We're going to be looking at the stanza that starts in verse 113. And we won't get all the way through this tonight. But I'm going to draw out mainly tonight the main thought here that the psalmist is getting at, and then we'll break some of that down and walk through some of that tonight. And what you're going to find as we read this passage here, that the psalmist is really talking about fighting against idolatry, even in his own heart. And you're not going to find the word idolatry in the passage, but I think you'll see it as we make our way through it. And we'll read all of it in just a little bit, and then again, we'll break some of that down. But I wanted just to think about it for a minute, because if I asked you the question, are any of you idolaters here tonight? Well, I think when we honestly consider ourselves and we consider our life, we would find that all of us struggle with idolatry to some degree in our flesh. You know the very first commandment of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And this psalm really begins with a declaration about being double-minded. And that double-mindedness directly relates to that first command, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Notice right away in verse 1, he says, I hate vain thoughts. Vain thoughts. We're just going to key in on that for a little bit. That really means to be divided in mind. It means double-mindedness. Okay? So the psalmist is expressing something that is in his heart. I hate being divided in my mind. I hate double-mindedness. And so as the psalmist is meditating on God's word, as he's done with all of the previous stanzas before this, he's reflecting especially on how the word of God helps him battle this issue of idolatry. And again, he never uses the word, but you'll see it the idea of it as we work our way through it. Before we read this passage, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us here tonight, okay? Heavenly Father, we do come before you, Lord, and the desire is to have a humble heart before you. Sometimes that is harder to come by than others. And Father, we need to be humble before you in order to receive from you. We need to be humble in order to receive from your word. And Lord, I pray that you would work in our heart to that end. And Lord, even encourage us with truth here tonight that you are our refuge and our strength. You are the source of help, our hope. And Lord, our flesh is always weak. Our flesh, we will always battle. But Lord, you are the one who gives us victory, and we can hope in your word. And we thank you for giving it to us, and Lord, for its instruction. So Lord, would you teach us tonight and remind us, and Lord, I pray that you would give of your blessing here in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so idolatry, that's the subject matter here. And again, ask the question, are any of us idolaters here in this room? And I think, again, if we were honest, we would understand that idolatry is a sin that we would all contend with. And we think of it in terms of you know, bowing down to other gods or worshiping other gods. And none of us probably have ever set up a statue of another god or bowed down before it. Many of us have never pursued another religion. Some may have in their life. Most in this room would say that we've never turned our back on the Bible. Maybe even most in the room would say that we have never discounted or not believed in Jesus. We've never denied the gospel. But even if we haven't done any of those things, we still can struggle with idolatry. And where does that come from? Well, it comes from a place of the heart when we found our deepest satisfaction in someone rather than the Lord or something other than God. We've become or are guilty of idolatry. We've been double-minded, to use the language of the psalmist here. And in this psalm, the psalmist has some words of counsel for us as we fight that battle in our own flesh. And that battle that he fought as well is a battle that sometimes he lost. But at other times, by the grace of God, he fought that battle and won. And so I want us to see some things that he teaches us about fighting that fight against idolatry. Let's go ahead and read this passage, and then we'll dig into some of it here tonight. He says in verse 113, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments." Again, what we find here is that as the psalmist begins here, he's giving thoughts of his mind, and he's expressing even the attitude of his heart where he says, I hate these vain thoughts. I hate this being divided in my mind, this double-mindedness. But thy law is what I really love. And so, again, I want us to see some things that he teaches us about fighting that fight against idolatry. And the first thing that the psalmist mentions here in this fight against idolatry is wholehearted devotion to God and to his word is what will protect us. He says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. In that verse, the psalmist is telling us that wholehearted devotion to God and loyalty to his word is the mindset and the heart aspiration of the one who truly wants to please God. I hate vain thoughts, he says. That phrase or that term, again, it means double-mindedness, or it's a term for religious ambivalence. And what that means is it's talking about a term that indicates a divided loyalty in relationship to God. Is everybody following that? Okay? Again, it relates to, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And it's a term that indicates this divided loyalty in relation to God. You understand that in terms of your flesh and your spirit. When we're saved, we have this new, we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're created after the image of him who created us. We're created in the image of God. This new man, this new person, always, the spirit always agrees with God. But there's something that we still fight with, our flesh, that never agrees with God. And this is the battle, the one against the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The flesh is always seeking for control. The spirit wants to agree with God. And here's the battlefield in the psalmist's heart and mind too. I hate this divided mind, but thy law do I love. This divided loyalty in relation to God. There are a number of passages in the Old Testament that illustrate this very same thought. One that almost uses the very same language is in 1 Kings chapter 18. So just keep your place here and look in 1 Kings chapter 18. This is a well-known Old Testament passage here. And in this passage, Elijah is confronting the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And as Elijah is preparing to defeat the prophets of Baal, he says something very particular to the people of God. Look in verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So Elijah here, this is his ministry in the northern kingdom. Ahab is the king at the time. And what you have here are people who are a part of the people of God. The kingdom is divided, but these people are still part of the people of God. They've been planted in the land by God's kindness and God's goodness. And yet what we find here is that they're worshiping false gods. They're worshiping idols. And Elijah tells them, How long halt ye between two opinions? The idea, or that word halt, it's talking about being lame or limping around. It's, you know, you have a sore foot, you've got a sprained ankle, and you're hobbling along. How long are you going to hobble around in life, is what he's saying. It's hindering you. It's keeping you from worshiping the Lord. And he says, How long are you going to hobble on one foot and then the other? How long, the idea is, are you going to be divided in your loyalty in relation to God? You've got to do one or the other. What were they struggling with? Well, they're struggling with, in the language of Psalm 119, a double-mindedness. Jesus says the same thing. In Matthew chapter 6, he's talking about how we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus also says you cannot serve God and mammon. You're going to love the one, hate the other. You're going to hold the one, despise the other. You can't do both. There's a double-mindedness sometimes to the people of God. And what is that ultimately? It's a struggle with idolatry. Who's really going to be God? They're worshiping Baal rather than the one true God. If you go over to Joshua chapter 24, you see that this is precisely what Joshua is addressing with the people of Israel. And this is Joshua's final address to the people of God. But he says in chapter 24 and verse 14, let's start there. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Here Joshua is saying, as he's giving his farewell or final address to the people of Israel, he's saying, already some of you are tempted to worship the gods of this land, just like the people of God were tempted in the wilderness to go back and serve the gods of Egypt. And then some of you might be tempted to go back and even serve the gods that Abraham's family worshipped before they ever even crossed over into the land of God years and years before. But he says, but for me and my house, he's got some resolve here. We're going to serve the Lord. There was no divided heart with Joshua. What's he calling on the people to do? He's calling on them to not be double-minded. He's calling on them not to commit the sin of idolatry. He's calling on them to be holy and completely sold out in their devotion to God and loyalty to God and his word. That's the mindset. That's the heart aspiration of even the psalmist as he's declaring, I hate this double-mindedness, this being divided in my mind. And the application is pretty simple. We struggle sometimes with being double-minded. James talks about that. If you go over to James chapter 1, James chapter 1 and verse 6, we'll start there. He says, but let him ask in faith. He's saying if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God, and he'll give it to you. And verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A double-minded man is inconsistent, back and forth. And he says again in chapter 4, James says it, talks about it again in chapter 4, but he gets a little more particular here. In verse 7, he's talking about submitting ourselves to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Who is James writing to? He's writing to Christians. He's writing to saints of God. And he knows that double-mindedness, he calls it a sin here. He says, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, ye sinners, and you double-minded. Double-mindedness, or being divided in our loyalty to the Lord, is something that we struggle with. And James is reproving these Christians, calling them both sinners and double-minded. That term that James uses is double-minded. It refers, the literal meaning is two-souled. The number two, two-souled, like two different things. And the idea that it carries is one who is marked by doubting and one who is marked by instability. Inconsistent. And he says, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. In obedience to this thought of verse 7, to submit yourself unto the Lord. Why does he use the word hands? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Well, the hands, it's talking about or referring to or focusing on the external behaviors. Talking about the believer and his money, the believer and his eyes, the believer and his ears, the believer and his will. Will a believer arrogantly demand that what I have in my life is due to my power, due to my, you know, to it, that I call my own? Well, that's the opposite of submission. He talks about hearts. It refers to the inward attitude. You know, we can conform to a certain standard or a certain way of living and give the appearance of submission to God, but all along the heart is still in rebellion. We get some attitudes sometimes. We need to work on our attitudes. I know I need to work on mine. Our attitudes can be soured over time. They can become embittered. We can become calloused. That's not submission to the Lord. And it's not submission to the Lord when our attitude is rotten. The battlefield of this sin is the battlefield of the heart. It's the battlefield of our desires, our will. And when we find thoughts in our hearts that are carnal, thoughts in our hearts that are worldly, thoughts in our hearts that are proud, even thoughts that are hateful, that's a warning sign that something is wrong and there's some double-mindedness going on. And the psalmist here is stating with some resolve, I hate this. I hate this about myself. I hate this double-mindedness. I don't want to be like that. I want to be loyal to the Lord. I want to be devoted to the Lord. I want to believe the Word of God. So there's this first thing that the psalmist says to guard against and battle against idolatry, even our own heart and mind, is to have this loyalty to God. That's the mindset. That's the heart aspiration. But if you go back to Psalm 119, he gives this second thought. So he starts out with this idea, I don't want to be this way. I hate this double-mindedness. I want to be loyal to the Lord. But then he says, secondly, here's how you guard against it. He says, Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. He says, God himself is our shelter. God himself is our shield to defend or to fight against this in our own life. He says, you are my hiding place. You're my shield. I hope in your word. And so he's telling us here something that's very important for the battle against idolatry, the battle against double-mindedness. He's telling us that God himself is the shelter. God himself is the shield. God himself is the help. God himself is our hope. In other words, he is the only place of safety. How does idolatry work? Or this double-mindedness work? Well, idolatry always works by a lie. Telling us, or maybe it's our flesh, telling us that there's some other place where we're going to find safety other than God. Telling us there's some other place where we're going to find real security other than God. Like there's some other place that is going to give us satisfaction in this life other than God. That's how idolatry always works. There's an offer that's made that's contrary to finding our safety and our security and our satisfaction in God. It's painting this picture like, this is what will bring you happiness. This is what will bring you contentment. And so often we fall for it. I mean, let's just think about Adam and Eve for a minute in the garden. How did that go? There was a lie that was being told, right? And the lie was, God knows if you do this, you're going to be like him. Did God really say that? Presenting something as pleasant, something as profitable for self. There's other examples in the scriptures too. Like David, when he was supposed to be out to war, a time when kings go forth to battle. Peter, the night that the Lord was betrayed, even though the Lord warned him three times, you're going to deny me. Why? Well, because this battle is fought on the level of the desires. Let me just make an application here. You know, we have human needs. We have human desires. We have human emotions. And somebody could feel like whatever it is that I'm feeling is so powerful and so overwhelming, I've got to do something to satisfy this. Like someone could say, I'm so lonely. I'm lonely in life. I'm so lonely. And that desire becomes so overpowering and overwhelming to the point that a person is willing to go and do what God said not to do in order to find balm for that need. What is that at its heart, at its root? It's double-mindedness. It's idolatry because it's saying, Lord, you can't be my shield. Lord, you can't be my help. Lord, I can't find my hope in you. I can't find the satisfaction and contentment for my soul in you. I can only find that somewhere else. Even though you may have told me I shouldn't seek it there. What is it that causes people to live their life trying to gain temporal things? There's something about it that makes them think that there's going to be some satisfaction, some contentment there, rather than seeking their contentment in the Lord. What causes us to lean on people more than the Lord? When the Word of God tells us, put not your trust in princes nor the kings of the earth, but don't put your trust in men. They're going to fail. We sang the song already tonight, the very first one we sang. The second was, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. The first one was talking about how the Lord is our refuge, our hope, our strength. We find it in Him. And so it's so important for us to understand what the psalmist is saying. He's saying that God Himself is our shelter and our shield. He's our help, our hope. He's the only place of safety in this sinful world. And I'm as guilty of it as anybody. We go looking for some feeling. We go looking for some satisfaction. We go looking for some contentment. And we look in the wrong places and we are disappointed. But that's because I'm looking in the wrong place instead of going to the Lord first. And when we look to anything or anyone else to assuage those things or fulfill those desires to satisfy the real longings, then it's going to fail. And so the psalmist says, no, you, Lord, are the real hiding place. You're the real shield. You're the one where we find our hope. And he says, I hope in thy word. It's at those times, listen, it's at those times when, and I know this is true in my own life, I haven't gone to the word of God. I haven't taken it to the Lord. I haven't opened up the word of God to find strength for my soul. I'm looking for all these other sources. But the psalmist says, I hope in your word. That's where the real strength and spiritual strength is. You know, so when we're floundering and we're hurting and we're fretting and it's causing the attitude to be wrong, I've been there, am there. May the Lord help us to find hope in His word. Amen. And not live on that plane. What time is it? It's about time to quit. There's a third here, and he says in the very next verse, he says, here's another way to fight and guard against this. He says, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Here's a third thought. He said, basically, it's evil communications corrupt good manners. In other words, bad company. You keep in the wrong company, it's going to corrupt. Depart from me, ye evildoers. He says, I want to keep the commandments of my God. And what the psalmist is telling us here, he's telling us that when we join with or we make company with, when we bond in friendship with, when we enter into relationship with those who themselves have the wrong attitude, those who themselves who have hearts that aren't right with God, what we end up doing is working our own ruin. And that's why he says, depart from me, ye evildoers. What does the Apostle Paul say? Quoting another writer, he says, evil communications corrupt good manners. And when you place yourself in company with a company that is characterized by idolatry, don't be surprised when that influence begins to rub off on you or me. We have a great privilege in having good friends right here in the Lord's church. And may we never be guilty of being the evildoer or the evil companionship. Amen. May we ask the Lord to help us to be those who edify and build and grow and work together for the common bond. It's a sad thing. The Word of God does say sometimes you have to mark those who are unruly, who walk not after the command of God. You got to mark them and avoid them. May that never be true of God's people. Amen. We'll talk more about this thought next time. But I am thankful that we have the Word of God. We have God Himself. We can have good companions and friends that can help build and strengthen, and iron that sharpens iron, so that we can be aided in our loyalty to the Lord Himself. And we'll go on in this passage and talk about how God's Word is the believer's strength. And we'll talk about how meditating on God and His character will help us. The fear of the Lord is actually going to protect our heart from double-mindedness. And we'll talk about that next time. But ponder and think on these thoughts here tonight. Are you double-minded? Vain thoughts? Is there a divided heart in your loyalty to the Lord and to His Word? Where do you go for the source of strength and help? Well, the Lord is the only one, amen, that will be consistent and that will be true and that will be satisfactory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for these thoughts tonight, and we don't have time to go all the way through all that the psalmist relates here, but may it be sufficient for tonight to think on and ponder our own heart and life. Is there areas of my life where I'm double-minded, divided in my loyalty to the Lord, and with a humble heart, ask You to try our reins, to know our heart, to see if there be any wicked way in me. And Lord, I know that I am guilty at times. Or we're looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. And praise the Lord for wonderful friends. They're an aid and a help. But at the end of the day, they're still not the source of strength or hope. We're all frail and feeble as mortal men. And Lord, You are the only place of safety. Help us to see it. And Lord, to understand what our tendency is to be divided because of our flesh, and have some resolve, like the psalmist, to hate that side of us, but cling to and love the Word of God and run to You. And Lord, I pray that You would challenge us, and we would just have a heart that is going to meditate, think, not just dismiss what's been said the moment we say amen, but Lord, to have this heart that wants to draw nigh unto You. In doing so, we have to also be willing to see what's really there. Thank You, Lord, that You are ever faithful. Thank You that You are always trustworthy. Lord, that You are never double-minded. You're not divided in Your loyalties to us. Thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness that is great. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.